Thank you, Mr. Efimov. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the Sabbath rest. We are certainly enjoying it. Life just seems to be sprinting by. We started our more serious feast planning this week, and we feel like we're a little bit late to the game, but it's what's on our calendar at the moment. But hopefully you're enjoying today and enjoying your rest. Today, we'll be reviewing the biography of one of the great men of the Bible. As you know, I enjoy doing biographies from time to time. I was intrigued to study this person, this topic, by a message that was given by Mr. Sean Corlew. He's the pastor of the United Congregations in Northern Indiana. And so he gave a message, and it sparked my interest, and it caused me to study. And I thought I really knew this person, and I was wrong. Like most things in the Bible, if you scratch a little bit, you start to discover there's a lot more. So today we're going to scratch a little bit more on somebody that perhaps you think you know. The subject of today's biography is Caleb. We'll learn more about Caleb and discover that we, today, are in a situation similar to him. So let's start the bio section and answer the five W's. First, what is he known for? He is one of the explorers of the land of Canaan when they were spying out the land after exiting Egypt. You can find that in Exodus. We'll go to Numbers in this case, if you wouldn't mind turning to Numbers 13 and verse 1, and we'll just make sure we have this basic piece of what he is known for. Numbers 13 and verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. For each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And then it goes and lists the men. And in verse 6, from the tribe of Judah, so representing Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. So he's out there. He travels around for about 40 days with his colleagues, spying out the land and discovering that it is an abundant land. He returns and gives a report to Moses and the whole assembly. And as we know, the people rebel. And in verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it." And the people responded by suggesting that he should be stoned for such a comment. As we know, he is one of two people that made it into the promised land of the estimated 1 to 2 million Israelites that exited Egypt. So he's very rare. When did he live? Well, obviously he lived during the period of the Exodus. He lived at least 85 years of age, and probably longer than that. Of the 85 years that we know about half of that time was before he had the responsibility to spy out the land. And the second half of that period of the 85 years, he was wandering with everybody else in the desert. Now, he helped conquer the land. He actually had a portion of a responsibility to help divide the land. So it's very likely that he lived longer than 85 years, although that's not officially documented how long he lived. So where did he live? Our third W. Before entering the promised land, he wandered in the wilderness like everybody else. Before that, we assume that he lived in Egypt, although there are some doubters of this, as we'll discover when we go to the question of who he is. After he entered the promised land, he was given the land surrounding the city of Hebron, which was a territory assigned to the tribe of Judah. Now, Hebron is a major city in the south central of Israel. It was assigned to the Levites, and it was also one of the cities of refuge. And his lands surrounded that. As an aside, David, he ruled from Hebron as the king of Judah. And so Hebron is a power city in the ancient times, and Caleb's lands surrounded that area. Why is he remembered? He's remembered for believing that Israel could take the land as promised to them by God through God's power. He's remembered for only being one of two people to make it into the promised land from the original set. Even Moses didn't get that honor. As a point of interest, he isn't mentioned in the faith chapter, which I found a little bit surprising. given that he is well esteemed by God, as we'll discover. So maybe he's included under the many more, but he isn't explicitly listed in the faith chapter, which I thought was interesting. Who was he? Usually the question of who is the easy one to answer, but not in this case. Bible scholars very much debate this. And in fact, every commentator that I checked had an opinion on this topic. There are two Calebs in the scripture. And whether these two Calebs are the same people or different people has some significant implications. And so we're going to explore this in a little bit of detail. The first Caleb, and we'll call him Caleb 1, is Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, who we all know is the man who went into spied out the promised land and went from there. Jephunneh, whose son he isn't mentioned anywhere else in Scripture except being connected to Caleb. And so scholars then turn to this phrase, Kenizzite, as to try to figure out who he is. The closest person that would be appropriate is a grandson of Esau named Kenaz. And so some say that this Caleb number one is an Edomite, the son of Kenaz, the son of Jephunneh. You can see that, and we'll just lock it down for sure in Numbers 32 in 10. And verse 10, it says, "The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and he swore this oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly. Not one of the men 20 years old or more who came up out of Egypt shall see the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and also Joshua, the son of Nun. For they followed the Lord wholeheartedly." So they get this exception because of their wholehearted following of God. But this is Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Caleb number one. There's Caleb number two, the second Caleb. He is Caleb, the son of Hezron of the tribe of Judah. And we can read about him in 1 Chronicles 2. 1 Chronicles 2 goes through the lineage of various tribes. And in verse 1, it says, "These were the sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun," and it goes on. "Judah had a son by Tamar named Perez," which is verse 4. "And Perez had a son called Hezron. And Hezron had three sons," verse 9. "All the sons of Hezron that were born to him," and in that list is a guy named Chelubiah, which is a variant of the name Caleb. And then in verse 18, it says, "Caleb, the son of Hezron," and he had children by his wife. So there's Caleb, the Kenizzite, and there's Caleb, the son of Hezron. Now, as a point of interest, Boaz, as of the Ruth and Boaz, he is the great-grandson of Ram. So there's Hezron, Ram. Two, three generations later is Boaz, and three more generations after that is David. So Caleb, the son of Hezron, and David have some connection to each other. So just to recapitulate, we have Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, who is considered to be an Edomite as a result, and you have Caleb, the son of Hezron, of the tribe of Judah. Now, Jewish commentators say that these are the same people, and they have support for that in their oral teaching. Why? Because how could a non-Israelite represent the tribe of Judah to spy out the land? This is their issue. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like he could be a leader of the tribe of Judah and go and spy out the land. And so from their perspective, this is a big problem. And so to solve it, they make them the same person. We're going to explore this just a little bit so you can appreciate the debate on the topic, because this is the conversation about Caleb. It's going to get a little bit more technical, so stick with me. It won't last long. And then we'll bounce back out again. So we have Caleb number one and Caleb number two. Are they the same person? Now, there's a school of thought that says, yes, they are. And there are reasons to support this. First, there's a lot of connections between them, and there's three of them we'll discuss. First, they're both affiliated with Judah. Caleb 1 represents Judah as its leader in spying out the land, and Caleb 2 is of a Jewish ancestry, his lineage, and so that's one connection. Also, the town names around Hebron, if you look at those, and that area was given to Caleb 1, if you look at those names, they're very similar to the names of the children of Caleb 2. And so people take that as a connection between these Calebs. Also, in 1 Chronicles 4, another listing of the tribe of Judah, in 1 Chronicles 4, the lineage includes a man named Carmi, which is another name for Caleb, and then Caleb, which is this Caleb number 2. And in that same chapter, Caleb number 1 is mentioned and some of the things about him. So it's another place where there's some connection between them. The other one that people say is more definitive rather than these tangential relationships is they both have a daughter named Aksha. So what are the odds that you'd have two men named Caleb that both had daughters called Aksha that aren't the same person? And so that's how people defend it. Now, there is some problem with this idea that they're the same person. First of all, Caleb number 1 is repeatedly over and over and over again in Scripture called the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. And Jephunneh isn't mentioned in any of the ancestry on the line of Judah in 1 Chronicles 2 or in 1 Chronicles 4. And so, you know, people say, well, there's a solution to that problem, that Caleb number 1 was adopted by Hezron and became Caleb number 2. He gave up his Edomite history and became an Israelite. Now, God's law allows for this. It allows for a non-Israelite to become an Israelite, and you can find that in Exodus 12 about how you make that happen. And it's a painful process for those that are familiar. And there's another scripture that they use to support this idea that Caleb 1, the Edomite, forgave his gave up his ancestry and became an Israelite. And you can find that in Joshua 15:13. This is where they're giving out the land. And it says, "Now Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord." So his lands were given in the area of Judah, in this vicinity. But the way that it speaks of it, it's like it's his stuff that just so happens to be in Judah. And people use this as an explanation for that Caleb number 1 was adopted in. So as I mentioned, a little bit technical. the idea that a non-Israelite could be brought into the family of Israel has profound implications. But we don't know that for sure. In fact, there's a very clear problem with this idea that Caleb 1 and Caleb 2 are the same person. Caleb number 2 had a great-grandson called Bezaleel. And if you'll recall, he is the person that God gave special gifts to build the temple in the wilderness. He's the great-grandson of Caleb number 2. When Caleb number 1 was in the wilderness, he was 40 years old. So how can he have a great-grandson when he's only 40? This is the trouble of trying to say that these two men are the same people. To sum it up, lots of commentators discuss whether Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, is the same person who spies out the land. He's the guy who spies out the land and does all those things. Is he the same person as the son of Hezron? We don't know for sure. The records aren't clear. But when you discuss it, there are a lot of people discussing it in the commentaries. Okay? That leads to a problem. They're so focused on trying to figure out whose son he is, they forget some of the much bigger questions about who he is, some of his attributes. And so we're going to look at that because he is given significant recognition by God. I'd like to bring two to bear. First, Caleb, one or two, pick your choice. From here on, we're just going to say Caleb, right? The guy who spied out the land. Caleb is given the great honor of being recognized as a God's servant. God refers to him as my servant Caleb. And this is an exceptionally rare honor. Let's look at that in Numbers 14. Numbers 14 and verse 21. "Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, Not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised an oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt, this is the NIV for people that are wondering, will ever see it. But because my servant, Caleb, has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Up until this point in time, only 2 other people have been given the honor and the title, my servant. One of them is Abraham, the other one is Moses. Even Noah, at least in Scripture, wasn't recognized with the title, my servant. Wouldn't we love to hear God say, my servant, put in your name, Bob, who has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly? Caleb was given that honor. He's also given a second significant honor, something that he's recognized for or should be. He receives the same promise that Abraham, well, a similar promise to what Abraham received. And let's look at that at Deuteronomy 1. It would be better stated a similar promise, because Abraham received lots of promises. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 32. In spite of this, and I'm just giving the context so we're in the flow of it, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night, in the cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore unto your forefathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his foot on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Both Abraham and Caleb are given the lands that they walked on. And those are the only two that I'm aware of. And so Abraham went all over Canaan, from the top to the bottom, left and the right, and his descendants have that land as promised by God. And Caleb receives that same promise that the territories surrounding the city of Hebron, the areas in which he walked when spying out the land, would be given to him and his descendants. Now we should take this to heart. If you believe you have a different spirit and you're following the Lord wholeheartedly, I would put your shoes on and start walking around. But you never know, you know, if God's consistent, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never know. As we answer the question of who is Caleb, because we're still on who, there are other significant things that we should look at other than these two recognitions that he was given. I'd like to bring to bear 2 aspects of his character that I think are worthy of being highlighted. First is that his attitude was one of being wholehearted. We've read it now probably 4 times, that he was so strongly associated with being a wholehearted person. He also had the practice of praising God, not his own strength, but the power of God. And let's look at that in Joshua 14. It's a bit long, but I'm going to read it because it's his own words, one of his few times that he's recorded writing himself, and so I think it would be helpful to see these 2 characteristics of being wholehearted and the practice of praising God. Now the men of Judah, and Joshua 14 is where they're parsing out the land. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, the son of Caleb, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me." And he's talking to Joshua, the son of Nun. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers went up with me and made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which you have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised to me that day. You yourself heard then that the Achaeans were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. You're sure left with the impression that he's a passionate man. And by this, wholehearted, energetic, probably excited about life, and vigorous. And he has great respect for God. That is the who of Caleb. And that completes the five W's of the bio. What can we learn from him? There is way too much to discuss in the time that we have remaining. We could summarize that God had a high respect for Caleb, and that if we emulate his character and his conduct, we'll be doing ourselves a favor. Especially this aspect of being wholehearted. Just as it's written in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I believe Caleb exemplified Christ's instruction. There's one lesson that struck me as interesting when we look at the history of Caleb, and that is his story demonstrates the consistency of God to all men. Whether Caleb was an Edomite, a non-Israelite, or whether he was from the tribe of Judah doesn't appear to be significant to God, to get that cleared up in Scripture. He expects all men to produce fruit of righteousness, and that includes us. If you look at Matthew 25, please, and we'll see how this applies to us. Christ explained this point in his ministry in Matthew 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on to a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came to settle accounts with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, my servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Like Caleb, we have the opportunity to be given the title of God's servant. Like Caleb, we may be given cities for which we're responsible to keep and to care for, just as he was. And like Caleb, we can experience the joy of entering God's rest after sojourning in the wilderness. And this doesn't apply just to us. This applies to all men and women, both Jew and Gentile. God's consistency in how he applies his judgment is the same from the time of Caleb all the way through to the time of the end. And I find this encouraging. Today, we learned about Caleb. Hopefully you discovered some things about him that you didn't know before. Hopefully you can relate to him better, seeing that we were and are in a similar situation to him.